Our Daniel chapter 4, verses 9 through 17, Bible says, I said, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking, I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here's my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land, and its height was enormous. And the tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the fields found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches, and from it every creature was fed. Does that sound pretty good? Yeah. Sounds pretty good. Yes, it's kind of responsive here. I say something and you're ready to go. That lets me know that you are tracking. Amen. And he says, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven. Uh-oh, things don't change. Amen? Things will make a change every once in a while. A messenger coming down from heaven, and he called out in a loud voice, cut down the tree. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from under its branches. But let the stump and its roots bound with iron and bronze remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with dew, the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth, and let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal until seven times pass for him. And he says, the messenger from heaven says, the decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that, everybody say, so that. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declared the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we know that you are the Lord of kings, Lord, the Lord of lords, the King of all gods, Lord, and that you speak to us, Lord, and you draw us out, Lord, of our lives and show us error, and you call us to greatness, Lord. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we look back through 2,500 years of history, Lord, and we see that you spoke to a king right in his bedroom. Lord, that you would come and speak to us here this morning, Lord. Lord, that you would shake us, Lord, out of complacency. Lord, that you would call us to challenges as we've heard that you call Roki to the tide, you call Aaron, Lord, to great challenges, Lord. He says, I don't know how I can do this on my own, Lord, but I put my faith and I put my trust in you. And Lord, we want to put our faith and we want to put our trust in you, Lord. We want to be available to you, Lord, that you would call us, each one of us, Lord, to greatness. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Been a busy week. It's baseball season. Padres are getting ready to start coming, I think, this week or next week. And Joe's team. Joe's on the junior high team. And they had a game last week. They're going to have a game on Friday, but it got rained out. And last week they had the game. It was the first game. And it started off good. But how many of you know it don't matter how the game starts that matters, amen? It's the end of the game that is important. And they got to the final inning, tied 3-3. And Joe's friend Josh gets called into pitch. And I'm thinking, yeah, because we got this little pitching mound that his grandpa made. And their yard's not big enough, 100 yards big enough. We had him pitching. We got Joe pitching. We're going through all these gyrations. Josh comes in to the rescue, left-handed pitcher. Got the nice motion and everything. Couldn't throw a strike. Starts walking guy after guy after guy. Couldn't get anybody out. So he starts throwing curveballs because that's the only thing he could throw for a strike. and the guys are knocking it, and he's walking them, and he can't get anybody out. You end up losing the game 6-3. And he ends up messing his arm up. So he's got like, he has to ice it for 2 days because it hurts so bad. And what happened was that he had a flaw in his windup and his delivery. And that game exposed that flaw. Now, Mike came over and we were working with the boys. We were going to work on their hitting. It was too wet at the hitting place. And we did some work on and we just made this little adjustment. This little adjustment in his first step. And he started throwing strike after strike after strike. Right, Mike? Yep. Me and Mike, we started paying a little attention to what was going on so that we could make the appropriate change and find victory. Amen? The series is called Victory in the Midst of Defeat. And each one of us has got something going on in our lives that could use a little bit of attention. Amen? Amen. My wife says, yes. I don't know if she's talking about me or she's talking about her. But anyway, we can talk about that. You can ask her afterward. She's saying, yes, both. See, God does not want us to get, God is trying to get our attention. In Daniel chapter 4, he's sending some messages to Nebuchadnezzar. He's going, hey, I'm trying to break through. Whole book, the four chapters, he's trying to break through to Nebuchadnezzar. We read the Bible, God is trying to break through to us. Amen? He's trying to send us a message. He's saying there's some things in your life that you could tweak. He's also saying right now that if you've got a cell phone in your pocket, in your purse, put that baby on vibrate. That's what he's saying. Just send us a message. Sometimes it's clear. You know, this is God talking to everybody. Turn off their cell phones. Thank you very much. See, God does not want us to get into the game to find out we've got issues in our lives that want to be corrected. He wants us to put some attention on him. He's saying, you guys are losing when you don't have to. I loved hearing Aaron talk about the messages he gets from the Lord. Say, what? What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? You know, he spends time in prayer and he is tuned to the voice of the Lord. God says, put your focus on me. Telling that to Roki, put your focus on me. You'll be fine. He says, but there's a message that I want to send. This came through with Roki's testimony. He says, you're not going to win without me. Amen. You're not going to find victory without me. And if you're trying to, I'm going to expose it. God wants your attention. My question for you today, does God have your attention? Are you focused on the Lord? Title today's message is, God wants your attention. Because, write this down someplace. I mentioned it twice already. You cannot win without God. Put your focus on him, and things are going to turn out better. Amen? Amen. All right. God breaks through. Verses 1 through 3, chapter 4 of Daniel says, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper. This is written by Nebuchadnezzar. This is written by a pagan. Okay? A former pagan. You got any former pagans in the house? Hallelujah, there we go. He says, it is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. He says, how great are his signs. Anybody found that to be true? That God's signs are fantastic, amen? He says, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. And right off the bat, this is a testimony that comes after the fact. This is a testimony of a changed man, that Nebuchadnezzar had lived his life in ignorance of who God was. Nebuchadnezzar had failed to give God his attention, and there is some drama that happened because of that. And because of that drama, he came to understand who God is, and he even made it in the book.
Thank you, Lord.
He wrote Daniel chapter 4. The king of the Babylonians, the guy who destroyed Jerusalem, the guy who took hundreds of thousands of Jews as slaves. God reached from heaven, was able to get this guy's heart. Who do you know needs to give their heart to the Lord? If he can get Nebuchadnezzar's heart, he can get that person's heart. Amen? You got to start praying. Amen? This is a story of a changed man. I can relate. I am a changed man. Maybe you can relate. You have seen transformations happen in your life, the lives of those around you. Anybody in here relate to that? Belshazzar, you relate to that? Glory to God. Nebuchadnezzar is being transformed. He wants everybody to know. And when you come to an understanding of who God is, you will be transformed. It happened to Paul. Who was it? Roki, did you say I recommend reading Paul? Yeah. Paul the Apostle didn't start off life as Paul the Apostle. Started out life as Saul the Pharisee, who was persecuting the church, who was attacking the church, until one day he saw Jesus and he was transformed. It was on the road to Damascus, going to attack the church, Damascus. Jesus revealed himself. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. I am Jesus. And Paul's entire life was transformed from that point on. Amen? Amen. We got a little view of the transforming power of God on Wednesday. Anybody want to know about that?
I do.
Anybody you want to know about that? You saw it. We're in here and the TUMI class, the Urban Ministry Institute, TUMI. New class starts on May 5th. New Testament class will be fantastic. Fantastic. I got the text, two of the texts in my office. You can take a look at them if you would like. And as part of the last TUMI class, all the, and I talked about this over the last couple of weeks, all the students had to teach a class. And so we set up some things in the youth and all this stuff. We had Wednesday night broke out into groups, and everybody taught except for Sandra. Sandra's not a teacher. Do you hear that? Everybody hear that? Everybody say, Sandra's not a teacher. All right, let's do it better than that. Everybody say, Sandra's not a teacher. Very good. So, anyway, Sandra did not have a class. She last Sunday morning, supposed to go down there, teach the youth. Didn't do that. I said, hey, you gotta meet your class. You gotta meet the requirement of this class. You gotta teach. And she says, how about if I teach my kids? That'd be fine. And so it was Wednesday before worship. And Timothy, were you here for that? Lisa was here. Gail was here. And I said, so how'd your class go? And she begins to tell us about the class. She goes, yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know. And because I walked into the living room, didn't tell my kids what I was going to say. I want your attention for just a minute. And then I started telling them. And then this anointing just hits. And she goes from telling us about the class to telling us the class. And she just starts bringing it, and everybody just going. No, you know what? Sandra didn't used to be a teacher, amen? But I'm telling you, Sandra's got a message from the Lord Jesus Christ that she can impart to people. Why? Because the Holy Ghost using her because God got her attention one day. Yes, amen. It's like, hey, you're teaching tonight. And then Reverend Mars let her teach again. I don't know what happened there. I'll tell you what, you put your focus on the Lord, you will be transformed. You didn't used to be a teacher? Bible says, writer of Hebrews says, many of you should be teachers by now. We got some people that are on the way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 17 says, the decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets them over the lowliest of men. He says, God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. And God is going to mess with the king. God is going to mess with the king who just destroyed Babylon. And why does he do that? He does it so he can send a message to the people. You know, God is just, God is righteous and all that kind of stuff. But God is no respecter of men. And God will mess with the king when God wants to mess with the king. Amen? That's why Nebuchadnezzar calls him the Lord of Kings. Because he does what he wants when he wants it. And see, he's going to mess with Nebuchadnezzar so he can send a message to the people. And I'll tell you what, we read Daniel chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, sending a message to Nebuchadnezzar. Read the whole Bible, he's sending a message to you. He's sending a message to you. He says, I want you to know me. Bible, writer Hebrews says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Lord is very much interested in you coming to an understanding of who he is. The Lord does not want you to get into the game of life and not be able to throw a strike. He wants to say, hey, you got to do some practice. Hey, you got to do some adjustments on your delivery. Hey, you need to put your attention on me, because you're going to get out into life and you're going to fail. And if you got to fail, you got to fail. But it's not necessary. You can come to understand who I am before you fail. Would anybody have liked to avoid some of the failures in their lives?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah? You know, the Lord calling out to you before you failed. He said, I think I got this handled, God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I did that. No. I think I'm good right now, Lord. Yes. God sent out his message to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was home in my palace. I was just kicking it. See, the Lord caught Nebuchadnezzar at unawares. And I tell you what, folks, the Lord can catch you at unawares. He got a message for you. Some of you, it's get back on track. Some of you, it's you've never been on track. You've been living your whole life off track. And some of you, he's saying, time to step ahead. That's what Aaron was talking about. You're tracking with me. You are doing good. Well done, my good and faithful service. I got a little bit more. And Aaron says, oh, my. Amen. God's going to call you to some big stuff. He's going to call you to some stuff that you need to rely upon him for. The biggest message he wants to send you is you will not find victory in your life. You will not win in your life without him. Amen. God might catch you with an unexpected message today. He might send you a message that will change the course of your life today. God might send you a message that will call you to do something completely new, completely different. And he might bring to your mind something that needs to be corrected, like the flaw in the delivery. The flaw in the delivery, the kid was stepping this way, and he was throwing his balance off. And all we did was have him just take a smaller step back, kept his balance, his weight straight, and he started throwing strike after strike after strike. Sometimes it's just a little shift. Sometimes it's a big shift. Thomas got a shift this week. In fact, Thomas got hit by a car yesterday. Barely grazed, okay? You guys at the, you guys knew about that, right, at the men's breakfast? It happened on the way in. Oh, he called you. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. And so he didn't make it, yeah, because he was coming, I guess, and I talked to him last night. I was going to come, and I was going to interview him. And he was all stoked, but he was a little shaken up. I guess his car went by him and kind of barely clipped him. Didn't hurt him, didn't hurt his chair, but spun him around. And the guy stopped and all this kind of stuff. You know, one thing we've been working on is a ministry of, we could use a driver. Thomas lives over there, and Gail has a Bible study over on Polk and 44th. Right, you know, it's like 6-7 blocks away. And if you come to church at 10 o'clock, if you could swing by there, and maybe this could be developed a little bit, and you're here most often, and if you're not driving, don't drive over there. If you're walking, you don't have to drive. But if you're already coming, and you could just divert over there and pick up Thomas, it might end up you might picking up 3 or 4 people. Maybe the Lord would put that on your heart. But anyway, back to what I'm talking about. Thomas got a message from God this week. Anybody else get a message from God? We heard about the message from Roki. Heard about the message from Aaron. I'm hoping that you are hearing from God. Thomas heard from God. I said, how you doing, Thomas? He says, oh, I'm doing good and good. And how's everything going? He goes, well, you know what? I got an issue in my life. I said, really? You got an issue in your life? And so what is it? And he goes, well, I got some drama going on, and it's one of the church guys, and I was a little irritated, and I told him I was going to punch him. I said, now Thomas used to be a SEAL. He can punch. He's 71 years old, but he'll put you on your back. He'll do it. And you could ask him for a display. Maybe he'll show you. And and he said, yeah, this guy's afraid of me now. And I said, well, Thomas. I go, what do you think the Lord thinks about that? Nah, I don't think he's real happy about that. And I said, I said, so this happened. You threatened to punch him. I go, how were you feeling afterward? He goes, I felt lousy. I said, you got any clue why? No. And I said, because the Lord doesn't want you threatening people. And I think the Lord wants you to apologize. I mean, this is like flabbergasted him. And he said to me, I have never apologized to anybody in my life.
Wow.
And I said, well, are you feeling that thing in your heart? Yes. I go, I think it's time to learn how. And he says, okay, I'm going to do that. And so I saw him like the next day, right? I said, so how did it go? Oh, it's done. And he's kind of got this edge on him, right? I said, really? So how did it go? What did he say? He said, I don't know. I go, what do you mean you don't know? He said, well, I texted him. And I said, you feeling good? He said, no. I said, I don't think texting's gonna make it work, bro. I think you need to do this in person. He says, really? He goes, yeah. I go, this is how you do it. We start going through how you can do that and all that kind of stuff. And he's going, okay. And so he did it. And I come up to him and I asked him, I said, so how'd it go? He said, it went great. He goes, it went great. He goes, I pulled the guy out of the food line. He was like not even hardly listening to me because he didn't want to get back in the food line. And so the Lord took it easy on me. I said, but you told him. And he said, yeah. He goes, I was scared. I was like stammering when I started. And I apologized to him. And I said, how does it feel? And he says, it feels great. He says, I want to go up and find other people and just ask them if I can apologize to them. He's got a brand new skill. That kid on his windup, brand new skill. There's so many of us that need just a little new skill to find that victory in our lives. And the Lord wants to send you a message. He says, put your focus on me, and things in your life will begin to line up. And he says, if you don't, you can't find victory without me. Amen? Amen. Amen. Are we okay?
Yep.
Time is okay? All right. Point number two, God sends a message with meaning. He sent a message with meaning to Thomas. I kind of had to help him discern that. But anyway, this is Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking to Daniel right now. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. Tree grew large, large and strong. Its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful. Its fruit abundant. And on it was food for all. And under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. And Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. And it's a nice dream. It starts off really nice because it is a picture of Nebuchadnezzar's life. And he's the king of Babylon. He's got cash. He's got all the stuff he needs. He's got servants. He's got all this stuff. And he has a very, very pleasant life. His life was nice. The problem with nice is it can get us to a point where we don't think we really need God. Some of us have nice lives. We can start looking at our stuff and get our eyes on our stuff and get our eyes on the Lord. You know, we're surrounded by people whose lives are pretty nice. I tell you what, he said, oh, no, man, we're in the hood. What are you talking about? I tell you what, you live in the hood, you're still living better than 2/3 of the whole planet. You know, I tell you what, didn't have no air conditioning in Nebuchadnezzar's day. Maybe they had like some little, like, I don't know, blow air over water or something, try and cool it down. They had guys holding fans on them. There you go. But I tell you what, you know, AC units, you can just camp in front of them going, I'll tell you what, we got so much, they didn't have no microwaves. They have refrigeration. Your life is so much incredibly better than 95%, 99% of the people lived back in Nebuchadnezzar's day. What happens is we can get our eyes on our comfort and get our eyes off the Lord. The Bible tells us, watch out. Message is on its way. Maybe you come in here today, and you're not really so worried about the Lord. Yeah. Maybe you're here today because somebody drug you in here. Yeah. Go. Maybe you're in here because you need something, want some food or something. Watch out. There's a message that's on the way. Because God's going to tell you, you cannot win without me. You can't find victory without me. And he says, I dearly want you to have victory. I want you to have victory so much. I died on the cross for you so that you could find victory in your life. He says, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Amen? Second part. Change is on the way. In the vision I saw while lying on my bed, I looked and there before me was a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven. Called in a loud voice, cut down the tree. I think this is the part Nebuchadnezzar started getting a little uncomfortable with. Amen? He says, cut down the tree, strip off the leaves, scatter the fruit, let the animals flee. Let the birds fly away. But let the stump and the roots bound with iron and rods, let it remain in the ground. Let it remain in the grass of the field. Let them be drenched with the dew of heaven. You know, the dew of heaven. I don't know that I want to be drenched with the dew of heaven. And he says, let him live with the animals. This is going downhill fast. Can I get a witness on that? Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal until seven times pass by for him. Warning, change is on the way. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar is now a little uneasy with this message. Calls in Daniel for the interpretation. Now, Daniel will get a whole lot of playtime in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel didn't write Daniel chapter 4. Daniel's not the main player in Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar wrote Daniel chapter 4, and the main players is the king and the Lord of kings. Amen? It's between him and God. And God is sending him a message saying, I'm going to be making some changes, Nebuchadnezzar. And they're going to be happening to you. He says, Daniel, what does it mean? And there it says, Daniel hesitates. Oh, maybe like an hour, it says. Because he's a little tripped, a little afraid of what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do when he says, Nebuchadnezzar, king, you're the tree. But I'm thinking that's what Nebuchadnezzar was kind of feeling all along. Yeah, I'm a little scared by that. He says, all this good stuff around here, it's not going to continue on. Change is on its way. God loves Nebuchadnezzar so much, he's not going to let him continue on in ignorance. Ignorance of who he is. Ignorance of Nebuchadnezzar's place in life. God loves you so much, he's not going to let you continue on in ignorance. One part I love in this text, he says, leave the stump. Leave the stump. It says all the drama in your life, I'm not going to throw you out. I'm going to leave a little bit that I can work on. Anybody feel good about that? It says, the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Let me just tell you something, King Daniel says. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. And it might be that your prosperity will continue. He says, King, if you would line yourself up on the Lord before he brings all these changes, he might not need to bring all these changes your way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, you know what? The Lord takes no pleasure in bringing drama to your life. And if you would line up on him so that there is no need to big drama to your life, maybe that drama ain't going to show up. The same day that we were working on Josh's pitching move, Lisa gives us a little call. See, she's in on all this stuff before we even start. And she says, the garage door is broken. Now, how many of you have heard about my garage door already? And I had that thing dialed and fixed. Oh, man, it had busted about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago. Just working good. Happy wife, happy life. Not a happy wife. It was on Tuesday. He says, oh, it's all messed up. When was it? Was it Friday? The game? Thursday. Go out there. It is so messed up. The pulley's messed up. The cable's all messed up. It's all tweaked. The wheels are falling off the tracks. It is as messed up as it's ever been. It won't even move. You know what? That garage door is sending me a message. I'm messed up. I need to be fixed. Now, if I would have fixed it last weekend, I wouldn't have got that message. You know what I mean? Or I would have just dialed it in, you know, kind of spent a little love and admiration on my garage door, you know, just spend a little time, a little me time, me and the garage door. It wouldn't have broke. I could have fixed it before it broke. And the Lord would send you a message. There is stuff that's going on in your life that's going to break you. And if you would fix it before it's broke, it don't have to be broke. He says you can't win without me. I'll show you the way. Amen. All right. God works on purpose. He's trying to break through. He says all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. All the stuff. God says it's going to happen. And guess what? It happened. Have you found that to be true about the Lord? God says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. He says 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he's walking on the roof, and he says, he's looking out going, man, is this dialed? And he says, is this not the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? My question is, where is the Lord in all that? The Lord is not in all that. And he says, these words were still on his lips when a voice comes from heaven. Nebuchadnezzar, I think he's feeling bad, right? As soon as he hears the voice, oh my. Oh my, I remember that dream now. I remember the tree now. He says, this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. Bam! You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. There are those who do not remember the Lord. There are those who will forget the Lord. You know, it says here that it was a year later, and Nebuchadnezzar put it together for a year, folks. I think he was paying attention to Daniel for a year. But in the end, his heart comes through. And he looks around, and he sees the strength of his life, and he says, look at me. I really don't need God. I got all I need. Where are you at with the Lord today? Some of you are radically surrendered to God. We've heard from some of you today talking about how focused you are on the Lord, how fine-tuned your ears are to His voice. Lord is bringing new opportunity and new challenge to you. You are in process. You are pursuing God with your whole heart, and the Lord is pleased with you, and He says today, well done, my good and faithful servant. I have more for you. I have more challenges. Continue on. And some of you are doing all you can to keep lined up on God, but your heart is just not in it. You're white knuckling it. You're holding on going, I think I can do another week. Holding on tight, but your grip is slipping. You might last a week, a day, a month, maybe a year. But challenges will come. And your heart will be exposed. Because the Lord will send you a message. And he says, you can't do this on your own. And until you surrender, you'll never find that victory in your life. God will expose your heart. Immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the cattle. His body was drenched with dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. And at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. And then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. That's the good part, folks. Roki was talking about battling for 2 years till he finally surrendered and said, I can't do this on my own. Nebuchadnezzar lasted for 7. Life came crashing down. Can you relate? Roki can relate. I can relate. I fought the Lord for 29 years. Maybe your life has come crushing down around you today. Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. He started eating grass and running with the animals. Now, maybe you can't relate to that, but I tell you what. I think we can all relate to making some choices and running off on our own and not putting God very high on our list. Challenges come. Calamity comes. Because we neglect the message of the Lord, because we neglect the Lord himself, our lives crumble. But don't forget the stump. Because I don't care how far gone you are today. You are not too far gone for him. There's still a stump in the ground that the Lord can raise you up and you can find fullness in him. Nebuchadnezzar ate grass with the cattle for 7 years until he raised his eyes to heaven and said, okay, God, you win. Have you done that? Surrendered your life to the Lord, Steve. Have you come to him and said, you know what? Lord, you can have all that I am and all that I have. I'll surrender it to you. Because he says, you will not find victory until you do that. He says that your life is going to continue to crumble and crumble and crumble. And you can try and rebuild and rebuild and rebuild. But just like Nebuchadnezzar, he fought for 7 years until he turned his eyes toward heaven. It was a lost cause. At least you want to come up and play for a minute. There's really 3 messages that go out today. See, there is a message of folks that are totally off track. Maybe you're here today and you have never, ever known the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know him and you've never known him. And he says, I'm letting you know that today and you can surrender your life to me today and find fullness. You can surrender your life to me and find victory. Second message is for those, some of you have done that. Some of us, our lives have crumbled. And we'll come running to God and say, God, put me back together. Put me back together. We get back together and we go, whew, thank you. See ya. And things are starting to get a little dicey. And you have wandered away from the Lord. And the message of the Lord to you today is you need to get back on track. You need to get your focus back on heaven. Get your focus back on me and serve me. And you'll find that fullness. You'll get back in line for that victory. And that last message, you're doing good. The pat on your back. Some of you guys are just feeling good right now going, whew, I got this message on Friday. I love getting the message on Friday. Because on Sunday, I just celebrate his goodness. There's some of you this morning that are just celebrating the goodness of God. And you feel like Aaron, Lord, Call me to something great. Call me to something awesome. Amen? Amen? Amen. Lord, I come before you this morning, Lord, and I thank you that you speak to all of our hearts. Lord, some of us just lost. Some of us have surrendered our lives and walked away. Some of us are feeling good. One big question in the scripture, you can look up at me for this. Why did it take 7 years? Why 7 years? You say, well, God said it was going to take 7. Yeah, God knew. Why did it take 7? It took 7 years until he finally surrendered. He said, okay, Lord, I'm tired of cow food. I surrender to you. How long will it take you? Roki, 2 years. 29 years for me. Maybe today you can surrender. Maybe today you say, Lord, I'm tracking with you. I'll take more. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. And for that person, Lord, that's just lost without you. Lord, I pray that you just send that messenger from heaven. Just touch their heart this morning and say, you know, I'm lost, Lord, and I need to be found. If you would meet me here, Lord, I glorify you, Lord, that you are mighty. That's you today?